Welcome. We are next Mishnah, Aleph, back to the first parak, Aleph Yud Aleph. A little bit of a cryptic Mishnah. Avtalion Omer, Chacham Hizir B'Devreichem. Avtalion would say to the Chachamim, be careful with your words. Shema Tachovu Chovas Galus. Sigal L'makom Mayim Harayim. Due to you not being careful with your words, you'll be obligated to go to Galus. And in that Galus, will you end up in a place where there is ma'im ra'im, not good waters, the yishtu ha-tamidim ha-bayim achreichim, and then the tamidim who come follow after you will drink from those waters, v'yamusu, and they will die, v'nim se-shem shemayim eschalo. Due to that, the shem shemayim will be a chil Hashem. So, the obvious question is, what exactly is this Mishnah talking about? The Chacham should be careful with the words. If they're not careful with the words, there's going to be gullus, which is going to lead to the third thing of drinking the bad waters, which will somehow lead to a problem with the Talmidim, and the end result will be a Chil Hashem. So anyone, any guesses? Your guess is as good as anybody's, what exactly this Mishnah is saying. What should they be so careful about? So there are many different opinions in the Mefarshim. None of them, we're not going to focus on any of the Mefarshim here. We'll focus on one other perspective, but just to give the simple explanation of the Mishnah. So Rashi says that you should be careful, Chacham should be careful to go over his learning, so that when he gives a psak halacha, he shouldn't make a mistake. And what does the Chovas Galus come from? Maybe he'll come to be mati or something that's really usher. If the Chacham isn't careful with his words, what do you mean his words? His piskei halacha, by constantly going over his learning, he'll cause Galus by giving the wrong psak halacha, and he'll tell, I don't know why exactly that's Galus, but what it means is that he'll give the wrong psak halacha, then the talmidim that come afterwards will say, oh, this Rebbe said that the following thing is mutter, and then it will become a mesorah passed down from Talmud to Talmud that the following situation is mutter, but it's not mutter, and therefore there'll be a chil Hashem, because if the Torah is not upkept properly due to not being careful in psak, that is a chil Hashem. The Rambam says a similar point, but not in terms of psak halacha, but in terms of hashgafa. The Mayim Harayim means minus, it means kfira, and if you're not careful with your words, if the Chacham don't teach things in a very particular way, then maybe people pick up the wrong hashgafos, and then it will lead the Talmidim and the Talmidim to not understand what the certain hashgafos, whatever is being discussed properly, and that will also cause galus in their emunah, and that will be a chil Hashem. And Rabbeinu Yonah says a similar point. He says also the Chovas Galus means that you'll come to a place where they're apikorsim, where they're minus, and you'll be marim panim b'torah shel kalacha. You'll misrepresent the Torah in an improper way. And that's where the Chil Hashem comes from. Interesting,
What does this Chovas Galus mean? There has to be some basis
to the Galus. Yeah, so the Galus, the way the Mefarshim are understanding Galus here is why is a galus, the Rashi says that it's a makom she'ein tamidim hegyonim. Galus doesn't mean that you're going to be in like an ir miklat or you're going to be sent out of Eretz Yisrael. It means you'll be in a place where it's not, there's no, you know, we call it the out of town. That's what galus means. You'll be, if you're in a place where the main Jewish community is and you give a wrong psak, so you'll be caught on your words right away and everyone will correct you. But if the tamidim end up going to a place where there aren't other chachamim around, then it could lead to a more of a major problem. Does anyone else just have a list of the Mefarshim here of what else Galus means? So we'll see with Avostar Nassan how it understands Galus in a different context, but that's basically the...
It would be outside the Torah.
Outside the Torah. So some people say Galus is Milashon Giloy, being Megala, that the Chacham, the Barbanel has a whole explanation here that what it means, Chacham, Hizir, B'Devreichem, is on top of Rashi's explanation in terms of Psak Halacha. Abarbanel says even more so when it comes to the secrets of the Torah. If you're teaching Kabbalah or things that aren't understood on its face value and you need to have a deeper understanding, be very careful. Galus is Milashon Giloy when you reveal it, because if you're Megalus so to the Torah to a Talmud who's not properly, can't properly understand, then that Giloy, that revelation becomes a Chil Hashem, because he's going to take that powerful information in the wrong direction. So no one that I saw really builds up on the Galus. You can check the Medrash Shmuel of more of a list. We'll see what the Avostar of Nasa and Chazal have to say about that, but just an interesting idea, which I've heard quoted in other contexts, and it's relevant to everybody. in some form or another. So the in the Nimsa Shem Shemayim is Chalal. So if you read our Mishnah, the statement directly before the Chil Hashem is that the Talmidim will misunderstand things. But Yamusu, that's also hard to understand how that fits in. They'll die, and through that Shem Shemayim will be Mischalel. So I think it's the Avodas Yisrael. I'm going to double check that. It's not Avodas Yisrael. So I forget. It's one of the Mefarshim. Let me see if it's Avodas Yisrael. No. I forget who quoted this, but somebody says. Huh?
Doesn't have to be literal.
Okay. Yeah, so what the Chil Hashem that they explain in the Mises, the following sense. That if you, whatever your misrepresentation of Torah causes someone to not understand properly, or let's say they actually get killed as an onish due to following the Torah in an inappropriate way, the Chil Hashem is the fact that this person is not around anymore. That in of itself is a Chil Hashem. And what they explained is that every person, every individual brings a unique aspect to the service of Hashem in his way, and one person is different than the next person, so each person has something to offer, and if due to the Chacham not being careful with their words, there is one last Ovid Hashem around, that itself is a Chil Hashem. And this idea, which one of the Mefarshim here in the Mishnah explained, Rav Soloveitchik, was fond of explaining, that's the whole idea in Kaddish. And why we say Kaddish for a Nifter, how does that make, what's the connection? That someone passes away, and now we say Kaddish. So we're not, so on a basic level, you're doing a mitzvah, you're doing an extra thing, you're dialing for the Amud, you're creating Zchuyos for the Nifter, but how does the words of Kaddish fit in to the loss of the person? What is Kaddish all about? Kaddish is Yisgadal Yisgadash Shmei Rabba, that Hashem's great name should be sanctified and should be greater, and then the rest of Kaddish is that theme in terms of the future of Hashem's name being fully revealed. And the Rav said a very similar idea to what some of the Mefarshim point in the Mishnah, that every loss of a Jewish person, every loss of an neshama, is a Chil Hashem, because that unique aspect of that, whatever that person brought to the table, is no longer around. There's one less Ovid Hashem, and Hashem's world is not as complete anymore because that person that shows you the power of each individual's avoda, and therefore we say Kaddish to say, okay, although that person's not here, we hope to see the name of Hashem still being sanctified, still being shown its greatness, even though there's one individual does not continue that avoda. So I was very pleased to see that it was said earlier in the context of this Mishnah.
You could also learn it, that it's not because they did something wrong that's why they died. You could also learn it that they gave the psak, the rest of their lives they did something wrong, and then when they died,
then there's a Chil Hashem.
Nimtza Shem
Hashem, right.
Their entire life
is
in
a mistake
wrong because of
the psak of someone else. That's interesting. That's a very interesting psak.
Why can't you interpret this in a different way? Meaning that the Yamusu means that the part of them that was Chachma died.
That aspect, right. So
that they don't have to physically die, right. But the Talmud Chacham in them died.
Okay, that could be also. Yeah,
they would never know that the Talmud Chacham gave them the wrong psak.
Who says they know that?
No, so then how can the Talmud Chacham in them die?
Because they're not really delivering Chachma anymore.
Who, the Talmud Chacham?
The Talmidim die here. It's not the word.
So that's the question. The basic two approaches in the Mefarshim is the Rashi seems to be taking the Mitzvah literally, and I think the Medrash Shmuel, who is a collection of other commentators, he says that no, it's not actual Misa, it's a spiritual Misa, and he quotes the Chazal, Gadol Hamachtiyo Yosher Min Ahorgo. It's worse to cause someone to sin, so I guess it's going back on the Chachamim than it is right. To actually. I guess that's open for question. Fine. So that's the basic. That's the basic survey of some of the Farshim. You can look into the Mishnah more. There's probably more to figure out and more to add your own drash as you wish to the Mishnah. But let's look at what Chazal themselves before we get to after we saw the Rishonim and the Achronim, what Chazal themselves have to say about a part of this Mishnah. So I think we've quoted before in the past the Avos D'Reb Nasan. Avos D'Reb Nasan is a brisa on the Mishnah, just like we have. Other Masechtas, the Gemara has the Mishnah, and then the Gemara will quote a Braisa from another area, Tosefta, or collected Braisos on that topic. So too, in Pirkei Avos, we have the actual Mishnah. And then we have the Avos Derb Nasan. So Avos Derb Nasan says the following, second source. You will pask and you will teach something that's not proper Torah. Then you'll go off to a place of galus. And you will, in that galus, you'll be in a place where there are not good waters, there are bad waters. Then they're going to pask and based on your word, not as a proper psak. And that will continue on for generations to come. Then, so the Avos Derb Nasan asks, "Izu Mayim Harayim? What is bad waters?" Have the Omer? Do I have a good copy here? Have the Omer? Let me see. Have the Omer exactly? What is Mayim Harayim? Quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Per Kuvav Pasuk Lamed. Hey, these Arvu Vagoyim, V'Yomdu Masayhem. You will mix amongst the nations of the world, and you will learn from their actions. That's one opinion. And the next opinion, not on the sheet, is Davar Acher Mayim Harayim Kamashmo. Literally. Okay, either literally bad waters, I'm not sure what that means literally, or avoda kasha. But the opinion that we're going to focus on in the Avos Derb Nasan is, what is mayim harayim? It means you'll be in a place where you'll be mixed amongst the nations of the world, v'yamdu me'masehem, and you'll learn from their ways. So we're going to focus on, as we titled it, interacting with the world around us. Let's just use this Mishnah as a springboard to discuss how what are the implications, what are the effects of being in a society where we're surrounded by the other nations of the world? And this week we'll focus a little more on the Parsha. It's a very fitting Parsha to discuss this, because this Parsha, more than all the other Parshios we've had, okay, Yitzias Mitzrayim was Goy Mikar of Goy, we separated ourselves from the Mitzrayim, but the Parsha of Matan Torah is really what sets Klal Yisrael apart from the nations of the world. And so much so, we'll look at a careful study of the Psukim here as the Hakdama to Matan Torah. Very often, all the fanfare, all the discussion gets focused on Har Sinai itself, all the excitement of the Kolos and the Brachim and Har Sinai being covered with the fire, and that's the and the Asaras HaDibros. That gets a lot of discussion in the Parsha. But in the beginning, between Yisro's whole interaction, the beginning of Perek Yutes, Hashem really sets out what the goal of Matan Torah is. So we'll read this carefully. We'll look at some of the farshim. Pasuk Aleph, v'chodesh hashlishi, v'tzeis b'nei Yisrael mi'aretz Mitzrayim, b'yom hazeh bo midbar Sinai. You have the pasukim on the sheet. On the third month, they on Rosh Chodesh, they get to midbar Sinai. V'yasum yirifidim, v'yavo midbar Sinai, v'yachanu b'midbar, v'yachan shem Yisrael neged ahar. Lots of discussion. Now for now, in this pasuk, why he just told us, right, Reddy Rashi picks up on it. It's important. Orachayim, why? We already told, the Pasuk already told us that they came to Har Sinai, now it tells us where they were coming from, and refuted them, and they came again to Sinai. Moshe Allah Elohim, v'yikru alav Adonai min ahar limor, akosam l'vis Yaakov, v'sagi l'bnei Yisrael. This is the first, the main message that Hashem wants Moshe Rabbeinu to repeat to Klal Yisrael before he actually gives them the Torah. Atem re'isim asher atzisi l'mitzrayim, v'asa eschem al kanfei nesharim v'avi eschem elai. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim, and you saw my hand and what I am capable of doing, and I brought you out of Mitzrayim, and I brought you to me. The goal of Matan Torah is to bring Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, to Hashem Himself. V'yata, and now this is the opportunity. Rashi says, V'yata, what does it mean now? You should be mekabel upon yourself now. Yarav lechem mikan ve'elach, shakos chalos kashos. Rashi says, this message may not be easy. The keeping of the Torah, what the responsibilities and the privileges that I have set aside for you right now, it may not be easy, but accept upon yourself now. Through the acceptance, it will become easier for you. As long as you have a full acceptance with a full heart, then something that is considered to be very difficult will mikanel elach, from now on will be sweet for you. V'yatayim shamo tishmu b'koli, v'shmartem es brisi, v'yisim li segulu mikola amim ki li kol haaretz. What does Matan Torah bring for us? What are the results of Matan Torah? Obviously, tarik mitzvos. But that's just the actual thing, the practical things we have to do. What does Torah Mitzvah, what does it accomplish for us? What does it do for Klal Yisrael? How does it change us? It brings us within a bris, a special covenant that we have with Hashem. And the result of that is Vayisim li segulu mikol amim. You will be something unique, something special amongst all the other nations of the world. Ki li kol haaretz, because Hashem has the control over the whole world. It's His decision who He wants to focus. We'll see how the Mefarshim deal with that. what he wants to focus his love and his chavivus to, that is what you'll be to. We'll be to Hashem. That's our schus, that we get to be his Am Segula, v'atem. And now through us being his Am Segula, t'yuli, Mamlechas Kohanim v'goy Kadosh. For me, what will you be? You'll be a special nation of Mamlechas Kohanim and a holy nation, Elo Dharma Shetidaber El B'nei Yisrael. And then Moshe repeats all that. Pasuk Zion, V'yavar Moshe v'yikol l'ziknei ha'am v'yasim l'fneim as kol Dvar me'ilo asher tzivo Adonai. So we had a back and forth. Moshe tells Klai Yisrael, this is what Hashem wants from you, and we accept it. And then only when we've accepted our mission to become the Am Segula and the Goy Kadosh and the Mamlachas Kohanim through Matan Torah, then we're ready for the actual Matan Torah. So as a prelude to Matan Torah, we had to have this message straight. And the main message for us is the two-way relationship that we will v'ha'isim li segula mikol amim. And then that is what Hashem's going to be for us, that He'll set us aside to be the Am Segula, v'atem tiyuli, and we should be for Him, am mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. Those are the basic psukim, and these are really what sets us aside from all the other nations of the world. We're the only ones who we could say we're the Am Segula, and we're the mamlechas kohanim. So we'll just look at two mefarshim, but there's much more to talk about, to get an understanding of what that entails for us. What does it mean to be an Am Segula? What does that mean to be Am Lechas Kohanim? Says the Rambam.
What does Ki Li Chol Haaretz?
Okay, that is a hard, very hard part of the picture here, because it seemingly has nothing to do with what we were just promised, right? Let's just read the whole pasuk.
Well, why can't we just say Ki Sem Li Segula Mikol Amim?
Really?
But what does that mean, Mikol Amim?
Yeah.
Ki Li Chol Haaretz, because the entire universe belongs to me.
So therefore?
And you will be Mikol Amim, meaning amongst the entire universe, right?
So is the land the part that
Hashem says...
Mikol Haaretz, I don't look upon it as the land as much
as Hashem, but the pasuk is emphasizing that Ki Li, that it's Hashem is saying his ownership over the whole world.
Oh, the whole universe.
So what is his ownership of the universe have to do with setting us aside as a chosen people? He should have just said... Rashi, it's an important question. Rashi,
that was a good answer. I like that answer. Yeah, but I thought maybe we were talking about the land.
So let's see what Rashi says. Not on the sheet. Rashi says, what does he mean? Segula? An Otzer Chaviv. You'll be a special storehouse. Kli Yaker. A precious item. You'll be like a diamond for me. Rashi says the following. Interesting. So, okay, we're Hashem's special gem, his prize piece on his crown. So where does everybody else fit in? Don't say only you, only Klai Yisrael, and Hashem has no interest at all in the other nations of the world, which is an important point that we'll address. No, it's not true. If we would have said that Hashem just rejected all the nations of the world after they, according to the Medrash, rejected his Torah, so that it's not so special that we're the Am Segula, we're the only ones. So, okay. Double Hashem? That's the famous Rashi.
That's the famous Rashi.
Who's the Beis Yaakov? Who's Beis Yaakov?
Same as the
Bnei Yisrael. No, they're not. Who's the Beis Yaakov? Who goes to Beis Yaakov?
The girls.
The girls. That's what Rashi says. That's the lashon. That's why they call it a Beis Yaakov. That's the lashon of Somer versus Sagid. Somer, Rashi says, is lashon kala. It's an easy first.
Easy.
He was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, when you say this message over, it's important for public speakers. When you say this message over, even though you're saying the same exact message, you're telling the men and the women they have to keep the Torah. They should be an Am Segula. They're going to be a Mamlechas Kohanim. The way you say that message to the Anashim is different than the way you say it to the Anashim. Rashi says the Anashim you should tell them by Lashon Rakeh, and to the men you could say okay to say Lashon like Kushin Kegidin, like a Gid, like Gid Anashim. Yeah. The sinews. You tell them the hard way. Famous Rashi.
I know that Rashi.
What? Okay, why is it Beis Yaakov? Beis Yaakov? Okay,
it's not mirrored. It should say
that's the okay, so why does it refer to them exactly as...
Beis Yaakov.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Otherwise, it would make perfect sense.
We had this every week on the parsha.
Well, okay, that's a good drash. I like that.
Questions. We had to like come in.
That's what they say. Whenever they say
Sundays,
you know, the words.
You have to
choose
with Rabbi Handel.
The woman is
the household. That's
the woman is
Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara that he calls his. Rabbi Yochanan says he calls his. His
you
wife, his house,
hands,
and he calls his wife his house and his clothes his honor, because the clothes are what brings
she's
you
the brick house. To as
the okay,
brick
that's
house.
A good.
Refrigerator's name is Perry. It's refrigerator Perry.
So we'll have to look around for that. Okay, all good questions. So now what? Let's see what's our responsibilities. What does it mean to be an Am Segula? Says the Ramban.
Right.
Next source on the sheet. Back to our Rambans from last year.
I don't know if we dealt with this one last year.
Recently, Segula Mikol Amim. Shetiyu Biyadi Segula. You should be in my hands. You know, we say colloquially a Segula, something special. Kedavr Nichmad, something that's unique. It's special. Lo Yimsun Amelach Biyaracher. And I, the king, will not put another person in charge. Just like in the king's palace. His most precious jewels, he's going to take accounting for that himself. He'll have the royal accountants be in charge of the other finances of the kingdom, but his crown jewel, that is his business. That's what he's going to take care of. So too, for Klai Yisrael. This is fitting also with other Rambans who discusses that there are other heavenly malachim and beings and mezalos that Hashem put in charge for the other nations of the world. The other nations of the world don't get direct access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, obviously, we believe in his HaTorah HaShkacha, but he allows the Umas Olam to be under the HaShkacha of the Mazalos, the heavenly spheres and the different configurations of the stars. But for Klai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban says, we are solely in the king's hands, we have a unique relationship. The Omer Kilikol Aretz, your question, Kitam Asher Chalak Hashem Osam L'chol Amim. Like I said in the Ramban, this is a major theme for the Ramban, that Hashem divvied up the other nations of the world. V'yaschem l'kach Hashem. All the other nations of the world, they're not under Hashem's direct care and concern. We are. V'kach amar v'avdil aschem and amim lios li. I'm going to separate you from the other nations of the world to be me, to be mine. O ye segula dvokus. Or you could say that segula is connected to kili yikaretz. Kili yikaretz hanikres kol. K'moshi prashu pasuk Hashem b'chazavim b'kol. Okay, that is a big Kabbalah Ramban. Actually, we touched upon this here a little bit. Hashem Berech Avram Bakol, the Midah of Bakol. So that, go look back there in Bereishis by Avram. V'chein Atem Tiyu Li, and then in return, what will we be for him? Shetiyu Atem Li B'yichud. Just like I chose you, Hashem says, out of all the other nations of the world, to put my direct Hashkacha, to have a direct, more clear, active relationship with you. So I expect the same thing in return. I expect that you to have total devotion to me, and for me, Hashem, to be the main thing in your life, the yichud, v'lo kishar amim, which has other things going on and how their avodah zaras. V'chinam ha-mechilta v'atem tiyuli, kivyachal ini ma'amid v'ini mashlit aleichem elani. Who oversees the needs of Klai Yisrael? Only me. I don't put it to the other sarim and how we understand things work in the heavenly spheres. V'chinu omar, hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Hashem specifically looks out for Klai Yisrael, and therefore we will be for him amamlechas kohanim. What does a kohen mean? Amamlech is the kingdom of Mishar Sai. What makes a Kohen different than other forms of the Yisraelim? The Kohen and the Mishar Sai Hashem, they serve Hashem directly in the Beis HaMikdash. So we all are Mamlechas Kohanim because we've been entrusted with the service of Hashem, and therefore we could be a Goy Kadosh. And since we're holy, we have the ability to Ledavka Bekela Kadosh. If we wouldn't be a Goy Kadosh, then we wouldn't match with our king. We couldn't attach to him because he is total Kedusha, and we would be just regular human beings. But says Hashem has a promise to us that we could become a Goy Kadosh. We can attain Kedusha. Through the attainment of Kedusha, we could connect further to Hashem. Kamosh Amru, Kedoshim to you, Ki Kadosh Ani. Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem. Very puzzling pasuk that the Medrash asked the question. Kedoshim to you. You should be holy, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem. You should be holy because I am holy. How does that make any sense? We should be holy because Hashem's holy. Hashem's holy because we don't even understand what that means. We can't even explain it. He's infinite. And we're Basar Adam, who have the ability to be Mekadosh ourselves through Torah and Mitzvot, but you can't compare. And the Medrash even goes so much so, Yachal Kamoni, you would think that you're obligated to be holy just like me. Tamalomar Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem. No, Tamalomar, you can't ever become as holy as I am. How in the world would you ever expect to become as holy as I am? But what the Medrash is striving at is that it's still only that much we don't achieve, but anything less than that, we are expected or we have the ability to achieve that holiness so that we can properly attach ourselves to our Creator. And I've promised you that through this, I'm segulam, I'm nechas kohanim, kodesh, you'll achieve olam hazeh and olam haba. That's basically our life's mission as a Jew, as Jews, as the Ramban set forth for us. And we'll see very similar. Look in the Sforno here. Just the sum of the Ramban. So the Ramban saying that what does it mean, segula? That we are a special nation that Hashem wants and has special concern for only for Klal Yisrael specifically. The other umos Hashem takes care of. Hashem meets their needs. He does it in a more indirect way, less direct hashkacha. The more hashkacha we have, the more closeness we're able to achieve to Hashem, and we can become His special servants, and then in turn achieve kedusha and achieve the goal of our being here to serve Him in this world and achieve what we expect to attain in the next world. That is the hakdama. That is the prelude to Matan Torah, of what Torah and mitzvot is supposed to do for us as a people. And the Sforno also is a similar. He just elaborates more, and especially in Am Segula. Says the Sforno, Vahisamli Segula Mikola Adim Afafisha Kol Hamina Onoshi Yakaritzli. Oh, like we said in Rashi, Kili Kol Aretz. What happens to the Umos Olam? Of course, Hashem has interest in them, and they're important to Him. But Mikol Yasinim Sayim Ashvelim Ki Hu Levado Amechuvin Behem. Yeah, it's true that everybody, that all the nations of the world have special interest, Hashem has an interest in them, but we go one step higher. Ki Hu Levado Amechuvin Behem Kamarza Chav Adam Shinever Betzelim Mikol Makom. Even though Hashem says Chav Adam, that a person is higher than the plants and everything else in the world, Hashem takes special interest in mankind. Every person, this is what Rov Rishonim hold, that when we get to this Mishnah, maybe, when the Mishnah says Chav Adam Shenever B'Tzelem, Tzelem Elokim is not a Jewish concept, it's a universal concept. The Mishnah says Chibo Nodas Yaseir Lehem, that Hashem has given Klai Yisrael more than the Umas Olam, because He gave us His Klei Chem Daso, He gave us His precious Torah, but every person has Tzelem Elokim. We could be one level higher than that. Mikol makom, atem tili segula mikulam. You're more special to me. Ki li kol aretz v'hidl b'nechem b'pachos v'yaser hu. Ki aman li kol aretz v'chasidi umas olam yikar mitzli v'li safik. Similar to Rashi said, of course, upstanding righteous non-Jews are important to me, but you're going to still be higher mamlechas kohanim u'bezet tiyas segula mikulam. Second half of the sheet. Ki tiyas mamlechas kohanim lahovin lahoris l'kol hamin anoshi. What is our job, says the Sforno, a little bit different than the Ramban. How should we be on Melechus Kohanim? We have to be an example for the nations of the world. We have to be able to show them what it means to serve Hashem. We're the only ones that can call out B'Shem Hashem. Ula'ado Shechem Echad, Kimo Shayu Inyan Yisrael Asilava, what's our job in the future? V'atem Kohani Hashem Tikru'u. As the Pasuk Nishai says, in the future, we're going to call out the nations of the world and teach them to express Hashem's oneness. Torah, the hurrah for the world is going to come out from Klai Yisrael. We'll be a goy kadosh built in us nifsadim. We won't be lost. We'll be there forever. It's promising us, like the Ramban said, Olam Haba. Coming by Hayah Nisher B'Tzion V'Hanosim B'Yerushalayim Kadosh Yom Rulo. V'Yomer Chazal Ma Kadosh Olam Kayim. Something that's holy is everlasting. Afim the Olam Kayim Klai Yisrael will be everlasting. Hashem wants to give us all good. Fascinating Sforno. That in Matan Torah, we would have been ready to get Olam Haba at that moment. That would have been it. Would have been the end of the story. We would have achieved the goals of Olam Haba, but we messed it up in Chet Egel. So again, that's what our job is, to be mitakin that. So you see here like that pit. Besides the obvious of the Targ Mitzos, like what Matan Torah does for us is it charges Klai Yisrael on a different mission than the rest of the world. And then that should follow, as we saw in the Avos Derev Nos in our Pasuk, where the danger is of being too mixed within the non-Jewish society. Because a Jew could lose track of what it means to be an Am Segula. Sometimes, especially within secular society, this concept does not sit very well, and I wouldn't recommend proclaiming it to all our non-Jewish acquaintances, but it's not always so politically correct to talk about that, you know, Am Segula and being being Hashem's chosen people, but it's really something that should drive us as our mission in serving Hashem. It's a bracha that we make every day. And we say, Asher Bracha Rabbanu Mikol Amim, Menasalanu as Torah. So by Hashem giving us His Torah, He chose us and separated us from the nations of the world. But now the question is,
as Jay's attorney,
yeah,
I want to focus on Va'era.
Va'era.
Yeah.
Back a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay. What, Perek? What does that have to do with Jay?
Because I think that the reference in the Pasuk Hey here, Mushmatem as Brisi.
Okay.
Excellent. Is specifically referencing these first.
Wow. Okay.
8:19 Pesukim.
Excellent. Vaskaras Brisi. Excellent. Right. So, you're referencing back to the Bris of the Avos.
Right.
Yeah, but that, given to Moshe,
right,
in Va'era, and reminded,
right, of, and especially because Moshe in Shmos was told that you're going to leave Mitzrayim and you're going to Ta'avduna Zalokim Baharaza, foreshadowing to Matan Torah. So it's actually a machlokas in the Rishonim. Your point. What is this bris referring to?
Because we want to go back to the land.
Oh, you want to go back to the land?
Yes.
Oh, Bris Avos. I didn't catch the land that they just came to the Bris Avos.
Specifically includes the land.
Okay.
The
Bris Avos, yes. And then for the Ramban, it fits very well because the Ramban holds that if we're separated from the rest of the world, that Hashem is going to have His unique relationship and Hashkach with us, according to the Ramban and Achremos, about what makes Eretz Yisrael so special, we need Eretz Yisrael to achieve that relationship. Very good. But then just in terms of that direct point of what the Bris is, so it's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Some say that it's backtracking. When the pasuk were you focusing on, you were focusing on by us. Where does it say the bris?
Several times it says it.
One second.
I know your answer is good.
No,
bris is pasuk hey. Eskar es bris.
No, no, no. Back in Yisrael, we're saying where's the bris? Right. So now some Rishonim say that it's like you're saying, it's backtracking to the Bris Avos.
Right.
And other Rishonim say that it's foreshadowing to what we're going to have in Mishpatim, that through Matan Torah and then what they did afterwards with the Karbanos in Mishpatim is a new Bris. So that's a machlokas in the Mefarshim. But if you understand that it's Bris Avos, then I hear what you're saying. That makes sense.
Well, that's the Bris. That's our first Bris.
Right. There's the land. And they're all connected. All those points can very much be connected. So now that we understand our unique mission and what makes us separate, but it's always a challenge. We obviously can't take this pasuk, or maybe we can. We'll see what you think. That every interaction with the non-Jews is a negative thing. We know from, as the Swarno just said, Tzadiki Umos Olam, there are many very positive interactions and needed interactions. So I thought to give
We can't say that because Yisro is a classic example.
So I thought to give a little bit of a perspective. There's an interesting piece. This is the edition that I have as a drasha that Rav Soloveitchik gave in the 70s. It's printed in Rabbi Bezdin's Reflections of the Rav on a chapter.
Which Rabbi Bezdin?
Rabbi Avraham Bezdin. By chapter 16. And the title of the piece is A Stranger and a Resident. What's that referring to? A Stranger and a Resident?
What pasuk?
Excellent. Yeah. If you look at the last source on the sheet. Ger v'soshav anochi imchem t'nili achuzas kevri mechem v'ekbara me'zim l'fanai. Avram says to Ephron, Ger v'soshav. What does the ger mean?
Temporary.
And what does the soshav mean?
Permanent.
A citizen. A permanent resident. So it seems to be conflicting. So Rav Soloveitchik sets forth here in this drasha a perspective on how we interact with the societies around us. And he says we have to learn from Avram, as I'll read some lines here, definition of his dual status, that he understands that he's a ger and he's a toshav. He wants to be involved in whatever the B'nai Ches and what was going on in Eretz Canaan and their overall society. On the other hand, within that involvement, he realizes that he's just a ger. He can't have a permanent citizenship amongst them because they have such opposing values to him. So he involves himself with him, and he is concerned for them, but at the end of the day, he realizes that he's just a ger. And he points to that a Jew can't reject either of these concepts. He has more criticism of one opposed to the other, but he says that as Jews and citizens of the world, we have an obligation towards the world of being involved in the world and trying to affect the world. And he quotes a similar pasuk that the Sforno quoted. The Sforno quoted the pasuk in Yeshayahu that in the future, Vatem Kohanei Hashem Tikru, that the Kohanei Hashem are going to call out to the rest of the world. He quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu as well that says that, if we read in English here, seek the welfare of the city whether I have caused you to be carried away captive and pray unto the Lord for his prosperity, you shall prosper. That you should look out for the benefit of the people that you're being sent in the Galus with, the non-Jews at the time. And he points to Dini de Machus Adina, that we have to uphold the laws of the society. So we see that we have a role in that society. On the other hand, he says, a Jew, however, has another identity which he does not share with the rest of mankind, the covenant with God, which was established at Har Sinai over 3,000 years ago, exactly what we're saying here. Right. That although we're mixed in, and we are involved in their society and trying to help the world reach its goal, on the other hand, we realize our differences, that we are Am Segula, which was separated at Har Sinai. So how does this two things balance? So there are, he doesn't focus on these people, but there are Jews who will say, I'm only going to focus on my second identity. My identity is a Matan Torah Jew, and I want to disconnect myself from my involvement with the rest of the world. He doesn't criticize that person in this piece, but I'm sure the criticism is equally due. But what he does criticize is he says there are some Jews who misrepresent their identity, and they so much identify with the Tikkun Olam and trying to have moral values right. in a secular world, that they will take their Judaism, the crux of their Judaism, the Torah Mitzvos, and brush it away and only focus on the things that are shared with society. Because if I can't, if my Torah and mitzvahs block me from fully integrating into society, then something is wrong off with that, and therefore I have to, as Brother Soloveitchik says, I distort. So he says that it's not true, that there is no contradiction. He says, in fact, both identities, the identity of us being citizens of the world and being the Am Segula, are compatible, and in most instances, they're inescapable. They have to come together. So how do we accomplish that, is what he explains. So he says, first we have to understand what makes us different. Where does Judaism differ from the Umas Olam? And he points to the Pasuk of Bilam, and we want to talk about Psukim that separate us from the Umas Olam, besides what we quoted in Telem V'Yisarvu, Bagoyim V'Yomim Asayim, and Ger V'Soshim of Avram. What Bilam says, how does Bilam describe us? Is Him Am Levadod Yishkon.
Right,
what's Bilam's Lashon?
That's exactly right.
Ubagayim Lo Yischa Shov. I think the Lashon is. I think that's right. But Midbar Chaf Gimel Tas. This Chashov, right?
Yes,
there's a song. That's also a pasuk. Kimurashim Erenu V'Gvolos Yashrenu Hin Am Levadod Yishkon V'Goyim Lo Yischa Shov. We're not going to be with the same calculations. We're not going to be counted amongst the... We separate ourselves. How are we separated? What we said by Matan Torah. We have commands. We have Torah and Mitzvos. We have Tag Mitzvos. And that, the Halacha, can never be compromised when it comes to interacting with the non-Jewish world. Then he says, besides Torah and Mitzvos, we have our doctrines, we have our belief, we have our Yud Gimel Ikrim. Those are not necessarily Mitzvos, but that again says that we cannot ever, this is a very strong line here, he says, we in modern times have not been authorized by our millennia-old history to revise these historical attitudes or to trade the fundamentals of our faith for the illusory pursuit of interfaith goodwill. It's important to have interfaith goodwill, but if it comes to compromising the basic the illusion of our faith. And the third thing that separates us apart is our future expectations. As it's very medrashic in these psukim that we read, the Sforno and the Ramban both say the closing of the prelude to Matan Torah of us being a Goy Kadosh is referring to Olam Haba. And as the Rav points to Mashiach, that we believe that our history hasn't ended yet and that we anticipate the coming of Mashiach. All these beliefs, he says, has sustained us for countless centuries in periods of trial. And these things, even if the other faiths don't agree with us, we're not going to ever compromise ourselves with them. And then he points to a fascinating interaction in Chumash that teaches us how we are going to interact with the nations around us. And where is that? Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav, if you turn, if you have a Chumash, this is right up Isaac's alley here, to the Psukim in Bereishis, when finally after Yaakov fled from Esav for so many years, they meet up again. Lamed Beis, Parak Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yitches. The Yitzav is Harishon Neymar. He tells the Shluchim that are sent to bring the gifts to Esav, and he commands the first one, Ki Yifke Shecha Esav Achi, U'Shalech Neymar. Esav is going to ask you the following questions. L'mi Ata, V'ana Seilech, U'Lami Eilu Lefanecha. Three questions. You see his genius in darshaning these psukim. Who are you? Where are you going? What are all these cattle? What are all these things doing for you? So we amartel adchel Yaakov mincha yishluchala adoni Esav v'hine gam hu achreinu, and then he tells us the second one to say the same thing. So what are the three questions? So, read you his language. Jacob anticipated that Esau would ask three questions of him and his family as they approached to take up residence in Canaan. Who are you? To whom do you pledge your ultimate loyalty? And who and where are you going? What objectives and goals do you seek for yourself in the future? Meaning, what we just said, who are you? What makes you different than me? Asks Esau to Yaakov. And we know the answer. It's the mitzvos and our beliefs. And li'ana seilech, where are you going in the future? Part of what separates a Jew from the rest of the world is our belief and where we're headed differently than they are in the future. The future is set aside for us. And fine, those questions make sense. And Yaakov tells his representatives to give them, he says, to reply boldly, clearly, and precisely exactly who they are. That their souls, their personalities, their metaphysical identities, their spiritual, and social commitment, were Jacob. Right? This is how he answers, this is how he understands the art. That's private. Who am I? Where I'm going, that's for Yaakov. That's for Yaakov to know. I don't mix in with you. But then, Esau's third question is, what are all these things? What's the cattle? What's these gifts? What are all these things that you have? What was Esau bothered by? I understand, you're separate. Yaakov, Yaakov. Your Torah, your mitzvos, your Olam Haba, separate. We're not going to mix together. But you have all these amazing things. You have cattle. You have gifts. You have resources that you can contribute to the world. Are those private as well? Are you ready to contribute your talents, capabilities, and material resources towards the material and cultural welfare of the general society? Even though you're going to be separate, what about your camels? What about your goats? Are you going to pay taxes? Are you going to develop this country? What's Yaakov's response? Yes. This, he tells them, Minchay, right? Listen how he breaks up this pasuk. The Amartali Adachli Yaakov. The first part, Lemiat of Anaselech, that's for Yaakov. But the other things, Ulemi Elefanecha, Minchay Yishluchal Adoni Leisav. That's a present for you. I'm willing to get involved in society, in every civic, scientific, and political enterprise. But while I do that, I still understand Le'adachal Yaakov, that who I am, my true identity, and where I'm going, I'm going to remain separate. So that's really what brings everything together.
That's good.
You can take a look. You can keep this also.
Very good.
It's great. So, and it's important perspective, and that's what this almost done nothing saying, the dangers of that. That in every interaction that we have, even if we see the value in getting involved in secular society, but we don't want to be as arvav agayim, we don't want to mix in with them. It's true, we're going to be involved in them, we're going to offer them, and we're going to take from them as well. But to keep the messages in mind of what it means to be Mamlechas Kohanim and Goy Kadosh will serve us to uphold our eventual mishnah and what we're meant to do, and as the Torah promises us to be that Goy Kadosh, to achieve what we're promised in Olam Haba.
But that's why it says Kedoshim to you.
To be holy.
Even though you have to deal with the Goyim,
still have to separate. Right, and Rashi.